Welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. This is the time when we get together each month to discuss implementing truly comprehensive financial services. But you know, not just at implementing it at any level, but the goal is to implement at a level high enough to actually increase the number of referrals that you receive. So that's not easy. Delivering comprehensive financial services at a level that will actually be remarkable to your clients is not an easy thing to do, but you can do it. And together, we're going to show you how. So each month, I select among all the questions that we've received from Advisor Pact monthly members. And this month, I've selected three questions that we're going to deal with. Our goal is to keep this session under an hour, so I'll do my best to do that. And I'm showing you the three questions up front so that when the replay goes live, if there is a question that you want to hear the response to again, which we encourage, or if there's some people on your team that you feel like need to hear some of this, which we encourage, then you'll notice on the replay, the player will list these questions out, and you can just click on the question right on the video player, and the video will hop directly to that question. So you or your team don't have to listen to the entire session, just focus on one of the issues that you're most interested in. First question. I read somewhere that there are 11 steps to implementing the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. Now, I'm not ready for the toolkit, but could you please review those 11 steps to see if there are any concepts that I can utilize? Well, I'll be happy to do that. So in the interest of time, I'm going to literally fly through this. There are going to be some concepts that many of which we've covered in the past, and so in the interest of time, I'm going to fly through a bunch of concepts which may or may not be familiar to you. So I'm going to just use this occasion to fly through the 11 steps just to get them covered, and if there are concepts that you want me to hone in on, then what I recommend is you go back and search past sessions to identify what we've spoken about in the past. And if there's anything in particular that you'd like more information on, and I'm going to say this a lot as I go through these 11 steps, then just submit a question in the future and we can hone in on any single particular aspect that you want to know more about. Okay? Now, before we launch into this, there is an important concept that you need to understand. And when we have members of the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, we tell them this very same thing. We explain that the phrase implementing the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which is what these 11 steps that we're about to review actually comprise, but that phrase is synonymous with implementing truly comprehensive financial services. They're one and the same. So when we say the 11 steps to implementing the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, the reason that this question is so good is and is so relevant to you in the Advisor Pack monthly program is that what we're really describing here is, you know, the process of implementing truly comprehensive financial services. So, he is correct. This is an advisor who somewhere along the line heard me mention or read somewhere that we have 11 steps to implementing truly comprehensive financial services, and that is true. So I'm going to go through each step one by one, but there are indeed 11. And if you want to think of it this way, as I go through these one by one, there's actually 10 steps. The 11th step is an expected outcome. So what we're accustomed to when we work with an advisor implementing these 11 steps is that once you've implemented the first 10 steps, the expected outcome is that you should be averaging you should be conducting at least 5 initial client interviews per week. So in other words, practically every day that you as an advisor are in the office, you're sitting down in the office, meeting face-to-face with a potential client, an initial client interview, which is a discussion to move the conversation forward to determine if there's enough fit for the two of, for you all to become, to establish a professional relationship. So let me go through them step by step. I'm going to pause at each of the 11 steps, and I'm going to outline what each step represents. And keep in mind, this is for the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So if there's terminology here that's not 100% familiar to you, just submit questions for future weeks, and we will cover it in a little bit more detail. Okay, so step number one is acquiring an effective administrative manager to serve as the team coordinator. Okay, so we talked quite a bit about, you know, you as the advisor, you should be investing 80% of your time serving ideal clients or face-to-face or on the phone interacting with potential clients. And so you will always be investing at least 20%. You will be investing 20% of your time administratively in the office, and that could be preparing for client progress meetings, interacting with your team, building and leading your team, etc. But let's just stick with the concept. If you're going to invest 80% of your time face to face or on the phone serving ideal clients or interacting with potential clients, that means you need a very strong administrative support person. And we call that individual the administrative manager. We've invested a lot of time in these monthly sessions talking about the administrative manager and what the requirements are for that position. But the skills required of a strong administrative manager, just to summarize them for you, are you need leadership skills, an individual that has actually had experience in project management. So we view... in truly comprehensive financial services, we view meeting with a client as a project. So we truly view a client progress meeting as being a project that your administrative manager coordinates. So we're looking for someone with project management skills, strong attention to detail, an individual who's highly proactive, resourceful, self-disciplined, and of course, reliable. So those are the skills that we're seeking, and the first step is to get that person in place. You're looking for someone who's actually capable of moving this project forward. So we talk in terms of project leader. It's acquiring an effective administrative manager, and that means effective in this case means we've got these 11 steps, and this individual is able to move the process forward through these 11 steps without, you know, prompting from you. Somebody that gets it, that it's their job to move through these 11 steps, and you're not going to have to sit there and push and prod to make sure that that happens. Okay. And then as far as training is concerned, now on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, we've got training on the toolkit. So we've got a weekly session, we've got a monthly advisor-only session, and there are 23 action sequences that we, on the toolkit, we train the administrative manager. They have these training lessons, and there's 23 of them. So in the absence of that, in the Advisor Pack monthly program, I definitely would make sure that your administrative manager is listening to these monthly sessions so that the big ideas and the concepts are clear. Also in the Advisor Pack monthly session, Advisor Pack monthly program, we provide you with at least one monthly project. And so it's important that your administrative manager thoroughly go through and read all the steps in each monthly project. And sometimes we provide more than one monthly project. So that will comprise the training at this point for your administrative manager. And we've talked also in past sessions about you as the advisor being able to clearly articulate your vision. So you need to sit down with your administrative manager and be crystal clear and articulate exactly where this business is heading and what the business will look like once it's built. So that will suffice for training for now for you. Beyond that, we do require that administrative managers on the toolkit meet with their trusted advisor, in other words, meet with you several times per week for what we call a daily status update check-in. So we recommend daily. The meeting should be short, less than 15 minutes, and it's in essence a report to you on how the progress is going implementing these 11 steps, what's happened since the last time you met, which is usually since yesterday, and what will be on tap for today. And included in that little daily status update check-in meeting that your administrative manager drives is an update of what's happening with upcoming client progress meetings. So the focus of the daily check-in with your administrative manager is for your administrative manager to drive that meeting, and there are two agenda items. One is serving your ideal clients, so that means the status for, you know, if the job of the administrative manager as project leader is to view each client progress meeting as a project, then daily you're getting an update of all client progress meetings, certainly the ones within the next 60 days, and the progress that's being made preparing for those meetings. Then the second agenda item on the daily status update check-in meeting is the efforts that your administrative manager are doing to implement these 11 steps that we're covering right now. So it's important that your administrative manager understand that it's their responsibility to move your team through these 11 steps. Step two is you as a trusted advisor have expectations of your administrative manager. So you sit down and you explain what your expectations are of your administrative manager, and your administrative manager accepts that responsibility. So we have a process for this. We actually have a whole page on the toolkit on how to have this conversation. And if you want more information about that, just submit it as a question, and in some future month, we'll cover that in more detail. But the key here is that you don't just have this expectations conversation with your administrative manager once. No, you have an interaction with your administrative manager, as well as every what we call direct report, anybody in your business that's directly reporting to you, primarily that's this administrative manager and all the subject matter experts. But the point is that you don't just have your expectations conversation once. You have this conversation at least three times a year. So just like you meet with clients every 4 months, you're sitting down with every direct report, including your administrative manager, to have an expectations conversation at least once every 4 months. So your administrative manager is responsible for making sure that that conversation is actually on the calendar. That's their responsibility, not yours as the trusted advisor. Administrative manager ensures that this review meeting with, you know, between the two of you and all meetings are recorded. And so it's up to the administrative manager to make sure that client meetings are recorded, interactions with potential clients, and all internal meetings between any staff members should be recorded for training purposes and for archival purposes. Now, this is not for the Advisor Pack monthly program, but we do like to for members of the toolkit, we ask them to submit the recording and the interaction log to our toolkit team, and then this potential client interaction tracker, PCI tracker. We've covered this in the past, but this is very important. At step 2 of 11, we have the administrative manager begin tracking four pieces of information related to client acquisition activities. And specifically, let me just tick through them because you don't need this app that we provide on the toolkit, your administrative manager can track what I'm about to say in any other way they want. They could track this on a spreadsheet. You don't need the toolkit to do this. So the four things are, and these are things your administrative manager needs to track regarding your activities as trusted advisor. Number one is the number of minutes that are invested face to face or on the phone with directly with a potential client. All right, so this should be tracked in real time. So if yesterday you invested 62 minutes interacting directly with a potential client or potential clients, then that should be tracked on a daily basis. And then secondly, the number of referrals that you receive. So just any new names of individuals that are potential clients, those names need to be tracked by the administrative manager. Number three, the number of initial client interviews that you've got scheduled for the next 7 days. And then fourth and final is how many ideal clients have you added over the past 90 days? Now, those four numbers need to be tracked in real time. So that means every day if there are numbers to track. So, but the other thing that we have the administrative manager do in the toolkit, which you should do, is set a goal for each of these numbers. So the number of how many minutes you've invested face-to-face or on the phone with a potential client, we have the advisor set a weekly goal. What should it be but on a weekly basis? And so on the app, we look back on a rolling basis at the past 7 days and add up all the minutes that an advisor has invested. We call it potential client interaction time. So how many minutes has an advisor invested over the last week interacting with potential clients, and what should the goal have been? So it's the actual versus the goal. The second number, the number of referrals, well, you're listing all the names of the referrals as they come in, new individuals, new potential clients that are being added to the pool of potential clients. Well, what's the goal? So how many does the advisor need to receive on a weekly basis in order to be on track to the goals for the business? And so you should track that on a rolling basis going back the last 7 days, the actual number versus the goal. And then the third number is how many initial client interviews does the advisor have scheduled for the next 7 days versus what's the goal? How many initial client interviews does the advisor need to have over the next every week in order to be on track to the business goals? And then finally, how many ideal clients have been added over the past 90 days versus the goal? So our expectation is that you should be adding, if you're implementing all 11 steps, what we expect as a result is that you're having 5 initial client interviews per week and you're adding 1 ideal client per month. That's the expectation. Anything less than that is unusual. Step number three is to acquire at least 1 ideal client. So we have an exercise called the annual recurring revenue exercise. We've gone over this in the monthly sessions here, and we have a module on this. This is a major monthly project. It's something that is utilized every single day until you are closing your business to new clients. So this annual recurring revenue exercise is the most important exercise when it comes to client acquisition, and it's updated on a daily basis, pretty much forever. And so in step three, we have the administrative manager taking over that project. So the trusted advisor, it's the starting point for the trusted advisor. It's basically a list that manages all your clients and potential clients and creates an order of approach so that every day the advisor knows exactly the highest priority interactions that they need to have regarding the growth of their business. So this needs to be updated on a daily basis. We start the whole process of what we do here together. We start with this exercise. So the advisor's already working on this, but in step 3 of 11, We have the administrative manager take over the management of that exercise so that now the advisor has support from the administrative manager to keep this annual recurring revenue exercise updated. And also is at this step number three, the administrative manager insists that there be established a firm ideal client profile. Now, this is important that you have this ideal client profile because that forms the definition of an ideal client. So an ideal client profile is not a wish list of this is the kind of client we wish we had. No, this is the outlining of the client that when a client meets all these bullet points on the ideal client profile, then that is the actual definition of an ideal client. And that means if they meet all those criteria, then those are the clients that receive truly comprehensive financial services. So it's up to the administrative manager to make sure that the advisor establishes a firm ideal client profile. The administrative manager works with the advisor through the annual recurring revenue exercise to apply that profile against all existing clients and to determine, you know, which are the clients that potentially meet the ideal client profile already. And then we say what this step is in step number three, in this point, is that we have the administrative managers enter only ideal clients into the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. Well, your application for that, what that means to you is you only provide truly comprehensive financial services if a client meets all the aspects of the ideal client profile. In other words, they're an ideal client. So only ideal clients receive truly comprehensive financial services. And only ideal clients receive the three-meeting process. So this idea of getting every meeting on the calendar for the next 12 months, that's a meeting every 4 months with every ideal client, it's at this step 3 of 11 that we have the administrative manager install that process. And that with all the non-ideal clients, they provide something less than this. So certainly not 3 meetings a year, maybe 2, maybe 1 or 2 meetings a year, whatever you decide on that. But focusing on ideal clients, step 3 is get all 3 meetings for the next 12 months with every ideal client on the calendar. And it's at this step, at least in the toolkit, that we test the administrative manager. So when I first went through this and established this 11-step process back in the year 2000, well, I worked on it in 1999, but it really formally started, you know, developing and creating this whole process that we call truly comprehensive financial services in the year 2000. Well, as I created my own ideal client profile, and I think some of you have heard my story, I had 1,242 clients, just way too many. I had a really dumb business model. But the point is, I did this process. I established an ideal client profile, applied that profile against all my existing clients at that time. And of 1,242 clients, only 17 met the ideal client profile. And so I disengaged from 1,225 non-ideal clients. Over a 3-year period, I disengaged from them. But none of the others became ideal clients, and those 17 ideal clients, that was all I had to work with. And from those 17 ideal clients, they referred me to ultimately to 100 ideal clients. So the point is that I want the administrative manager at this stage to be able to list every ideal client's name without having to refer to any kind of notes or a list or anything like that. I want them to sit down with a blank sheet of paper. In my case, it was 17 ideal clients. In your case, it might be 20, or in your case, it might be 2 or 3. Whatever the case, it's an expectation placed on your administrative manager that when that individual calls in to the office, there's no, "I'm sorry, who is this again, and what is this regarding?" No, this is a name that is very familiar to your number one administrative support person in the office. And frankly, everyone in the office should be familiar with those names. Step number 4 of 11, the administrative manager proactively initiates a 12-step process, which if you're interested in, we can discuss and you can ask about, and we can cover this in future sessions. and we have covered this actually in past sessions, but it's the administrative manager's job to initiate what we call the deliverables team recruitment process. Now, so the premise of what we're trying to do here is we're trying to implement truly comprehensive financial services, but there's a second part to that. It's to implement that through a team. So we're not making a pledge to just implement truly comprehensive financial services as a one-man band. So we're not holding ourselves out to clients like some financial planners, actually most financial planners do, which is to say we're going to deliver comprehensive services through one individual, meaning the financial planner. No, our commitment is this is 11 steps to delivering truly comprehensive financial services, but through a team of subject matter experts. So a team, we call it an MVT, MVT, that's minimally viable team. So at this point, we are interested in the administrative manager creating a minimally viable team. That is to say a minimum of two subject matter experts. That's a minimum team. And so we have this process called the deliverables team recruitment process, and it's at this stage that the administrative manager proactively initiates that and keeps recruiting until there are two subject matter experts. So you've got at least two individuals that can operate as a team. That's at this stage. One of them has to be a financial planner. So it's a financial planner plus one other subject matter expert. Now we have a minimally viable team. You have at least one ideal client that they're serving, and the administrative manager begins pulling together the process of of this operating, delivering what we call truly comprehensive financial services through a minimally viable team. And it's at this stage that the administrative manager holds the financial planner responsible for something that we call the master goal tracker. Now, if you have questions about the specifics of the master goal tracker, submit that as a question. I'll cover it in detail in future months. But I can tell you that it's the gist of this is that one of the primary goals of a client progress meeting is to convey to your client for each of the goals that they have established, whether they are on track or off track. If they're on track, then the client progress meeting is to report that progress so that the client has that overwhelming sense of confidence that they're on track to every single goal that they've shared with you. But as we know, things drift off track. So what the Master Goal Tracker is designed to implement as a discipline is prior to every client progress meeting to identify whether the goal, every goal, individual goal is on track or off track. And for any goal which is off track, it's the responsibility of your team of subject matter experts to make recommendations to the client as to what it's going to take specifically, what it's going to take to get back on track. So that's all the Master Goal Tracker is. So in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, you can kind of manually insist on that a process, that discipline prior to every client progress meeting, because that's a major client deliverable. Most advisors do not report at the average client progress meeting whether a client is on or off track to their goals. I mean, it's stunning, but this discipline enforces that, and it's at step 4 of 11. And also at this step 4, we're advanced enough with the administrative manager that we now begin working with the administrative manager so that they can clearly articulate what it is that we do and the value we provide to clients. So it's important at some point that if somebody just walks in the office and says, "What do you people do here?" That your administrative manager be able to piece together, a sentence or two that articulately describes in a concise way, very coherent way, what it is that we do and the value we provide. So it's at this stage that we work with the administrative manager to make sure that they can answer that question. What do you do? And also, we hold the administrative manager accountable first for them to be able to articulate this, but we want every subject matter expert also to be able to articulate the same response to that question. What do you all do? And so it's after the administrative manager has develop that skill of how to articulate that. It's their job to make sure that every subject matter expert likewise can answer that question. Step 5 of 11 is the administrative manager has demonstrated an ability to implement the basic foundation of the team work area. Okay, so the toolkit at the end of the day is a project management tool, viewing every client meeting as a project. So this team work area is a place in the toolkit set up for every meeting with every client. Okay, so it's a place where your subject matter experts can come. We call it a team work area, and all the documents, all the information and all the documents that your subject matter experts are going to need in order to do their work is on this team work area. So the translation for you in the Advisor Pack Monthly program is you've just got to make sure that all your subject matter experts indeed have all the information and documents that they need in order to do their work. And you don't want them to wait to the last minute, so you get started early. In the three-meeting process, you're meeting with clients every 4 months. That's 16 weeks between meetings. So it's your job as administrative manager. I say your job. Now I'm talking to your administrative manager. You have to forgive me. I spend most of my day talking to administrative managers. So I realize you are a trusted advisor, but I would have my administrative manager listen to this because I'm speaking directly to your administrative manager. And it's your job to get your team, your subject matter experts, not to squander that 16 weeks and to start early and not wait to the last minute. So the halfway point in between client meetings is the 60-day point. So at the very least, at the 60 days before a client meeting, you have a serious interaction with every subject matter expert where they confirm that they indeed have everything they need to do what they've been asked to do and do the job that they need to do preparing for the next client progress meeting. So that if there is anything missing, any missing information or missing documentation, you as the administrative manager can, together with the subject matter expert and maybe even with the trusted advisor if it's necessary, to work with the client to get to shake loose that information that is needed. So that's the team work area. You just make sure they have everything they need. And then it's at this stage that we have the administrative manager qualifies for something that we call the toolkit inner circle. Now, this is something that I would write this down. I would ask about the toolkit inner circle for some future session for the Advisor Pack Monthly program. Because in that one qualification, we've set 10 criteria. And it's those 10 criteria that an administrative manager qualifies for to achieve the toolkit inner circle status. And they have to requalify every single calendar quarter. So it's really about maintaining standards. I'm not going to go through it all here right now. I think you should ask me if you're interested in this, and I'll cover it in detail in some future session. But in essence, it's looking at each client progress meeting, and on the toolkit, we have countdown checklists leading up to every client meeting. We ask that the administrative manager schedule a little dress rehearsal for the meeting internally with the subject matter experts and the trusted advisor. We call this the dry run prep meeting. It's the implementing of this thing that we discussed called the master goal tracker. It's making sure that for every client meeting, the 10 client deliverables and the deliverables checkpoints are being completed. And it's measuring whether an administrative manager, how effective an administrative manager is at really what I think is the key skill for any administrative manager. And that's the administrative manager's ability to get things done through other people. So we have something that right now you could take this thing called the referability rating assessment. You don't have to be a member of the toolkit to take the referability rating assessment. Well, as a part of the toolkit inner circle, we have the administrative manager scheduling the trusted advisor to update the referability rating assessment every 4 months. So long story short, there are some minimum standards that an administrative manager needs to demonstrate to get past step five. And then after they qualify for the Toolkit Inner Circle, we kind of certify this administrative manager as, boom, up to the task. And all steps, one through five, are really all focused on, is the administrative manager demonstrating an ability to do this job effectively or not? And so the Toolkit Inner Circle is that minimum standard, and at the end, to get past step five, the administrative manager has to achieve this minimum standard called the Toolkit Inner Circle and maintain that standard every quarter forever. And it's at this stage we have the administrative manager beginning to document processes in writing for consistency. So clients, even subconsciously, love consistency, and they notice consistency. And so we have a method called the best way to document any process in your business in 20 minutes or less, no matter how complicated it is. And so if you're curious about that, you can ask me and I'll cover it in a future session. We have a module on the best way. And so your administrative manager should be setting a weekly goal for documenting literally every process that touches a client so that at some point, everything in your business is highly consistent. And that matters. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but until you have your team fully built, there are going to be some deliverables checkpoints that maybe you don't have the staff or the wherewithal to complete for a client. In other words, things you know you should be doing, but you just don't have anybody on your team yet to do that. And so we hold the administrative manager accountable before they can move past step five to make sure that for every deliverables checkpoint that you don't have somebody in place to do it, that there is a written interim plan. So what are you going to do? And it may be just as simple as disclosing it to the client that we know this is an issue. We don't have anybody in place right now, but we're building our team quickly. And, you know, you're just making it a disclosure issue. Step six, now we switch to a different stage. And I'll cover, there's three stages in implementing these 11 steps. I'll cover them at the end. But now we're focused on the administrative manager who has initiated this deliverables team recruitment process in order to get at least two members of subject matter experts onto your team. Well, now we shift focus at step six, and the administrative manager really starts cranking with this deliverables team recruitment process and gets the approval from you as a trusted advisor to initiate this process for the next vacancy on your team and keep launching this until all subject matter expert vacancies are filled. So our process is designed, our 12-step deliverables team recruitment process is designed to add a new subject matter expert every 60 days. And so that's what we hold your administrative manager accountable to, is at filling a vacancy on your team of subject matter experts every 60 days until your team is full. And these little acronyms down at the bottom here, financial planner, tax, money management, estate planning, and insurance, those are the five positions that need to be filled. And by the way, there's four roles to money management. So there may be more than one individual in the money management role. And then as far as insurance, there's usually two or three insurance specialists. And if you have questions about that, you can submit that as a separate question in future months. And it's the administrative manager's job to keep this process moving until all vacancies are filled. And we recommend that you only consider subject matter experts who have at least one administrative support person. We recommend two. And for those that are on the toolkit, we have the subject matter experts entered into the system on the team, including their assistant or administrative support person. So for the Advisor Pack Monthly program, I recommend that it's your administrative manager's job to make sure that they not only have a direct relationship with your subject matter expert, but also your subject matter expert's assistant or support person. It's important that when your subject matter expert is themselves busy with a client or on vacation or out sick, that your administrative manager has a point of contact in that office to get things done, even when they can't get a hold of the subject matter expert directly. And then we have something on the toolkit called script binders. We can talk more about this later. We don't really have anything in the Advisor Pack monthly program, but it is important that every meeting type have something like this. So we've created literally scripts for the dry run prep meeting and the client progress meeting for every meeting type. So in the three meeting process, we have the comprehensive safety review, we have the goal progress outlook meeting, and we have the annual review. So those are the three meetings in the three meeting process. We've got them scripted, dry run prep meeting and the client progress meeting. I think at this stage in the administrative manager program, what you should be doing is making sure that everybody on your team knows what the agenda is for the dry run prep meeting and for the client progress meeting for each of those meeting types. If you have questions about that, we can talk about that in future months. There is specifically in the client progress meeting a 60-minute timeline, which if you have not seen that or don't understand that, I would specifically ask about that, and we can specifically cover what should the 60-minute timeline, what does it look like if you're going to cover everything in a client progress meeting in a 60-minute time frame? How does the conversation unfold to keep on track to hitting that 60-minute target? Seventh is... your oversight team ensures that the client's implementation team is fully in place, and that's for each of the areas: tax, money management, estate, and insurance, not financial planning. Okay, so I'm going to cover this in a little bit of detail just so you're clear on what I mean here, but it's at this step we make sure that there is a position filled in both the oversight role and the implementation role for each of these four areas. So it's up to our subject matter experts on our team to identify who the implementation subject matter expert is in each of these areas of personal finance, and to make sure that the administrative manager has contact information for everybody on the implementation team, every subject matter expert on the implementation team. And I'm going to describe this to clarify it in just a minute. But it's at this stage seven that each of your oversight subject matter experts, in other words, your subject matter experts, have blessed and approved each of the individuals who are on the client's implementation team. Okay, more on this in a minute. And to confirm at this stage seven, step seven, that each of our oversight subject matter experts have agreed and are actively providing oversight over each of the implementation subject matter experts, and that no recommendation is slipping through from an implementation subject matter expert to the client unless it's through our oversight team. Okay, so let me just kind of and also at this stage seven, the administrative manager implements something called the exception report. Okay, so I'll cover that too. So here's our team. In our model, rather than the client hiring an accountant and a lawyer and coordinating all these people themselves, in our truly comprehensive financial services model, we flip it around, and in our model, the client has one single simple relationship with their most trusted advisor, who has built a team, their team. So the trusted advisor, you as a trusted advisor, are building your team of subject matter experts, and that's in the areas of tax, money management, financial planning, legal, and insurance. Okay, so money management, for those of you in various parts of the world, that's investment management. or asset management. And legal, it's primarily estate planning, but it also would include if a client's involved in a major transaction. So they're buying a vacation, a holiday home, or they're buying a business or selling a business. So the legal is both estate planning and what I call transaction attorney, lawyer. So that is your team. That is your trusted advisors team. That is the team that we talk about when we talk about our subject matter experts. But one thing we know is that clients already have people in their life before we came along. So they have often one or more of these. The ideal clients, when we first meet them, they often have an accountant and maybe a money manager, or they've already got mutual funds or something in place, some kind of an institution already in place. They may have an estate planning lawyer. The client certainly has insurance agents for their residence and their vehicles and all that. So they're just all these financial people kind of floating around. We call this the implementation team. These are the subject matter experts who will actually do the implementation of our plan. So when our team creates a strategy for this client, there will be recommendations. It's this implementation team that will take the ball and implement it. Now, I'm not going to complicate the conversation in this setting, but we can talk about this in future sessions if you're curious whether our oversight team can also serve in the implementation team role. So, could, for example, our tax oversight subject matter expert also do the taxes for the client? In other words, also be the implementation team member. We won't deal with that here. That is a very good question, and there is a way to do that, but it has to be done in a very specific way that doesn't create a conflict of interest. So the key is, the most important thing is that you have an oversight team in place, someone that is arm's length from the implementation team, so that you can provide to the client what they don't have in place typically, and that is oversight. This is something that's missing for nearly every ideal client that we acquire. They don't have anybody overseeing the recommendations. So, what is the job of your oversight team? The oversight team, and this is your subject matter experts on your team, they're responsible for three things, okay? One is, your team does something that the most clients have not done before you come along, and that's creating an overarching strategy. That is the job of your subject matter experts, to create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. Secondly, to oversee the implementation team. Now, this is, again, what I say. This has never been the case in most clients' lives. They don't have anybody. They do get recommendations from their accountant. They do get recommendations from their lawyer. They do get recommendations from their insurance agents. It's just that nobody's ever overseen those before. There's never been any oversight to make sure to assess whether the recommendations are well aligned with the item number one, comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. So oversight is the second role of your oversight team. And then third, it's to collaborate with the other subject matter experts. And so, it's one thing to have a team. It's another thing to have an effective team that's collaborating with each other and brainstorming to come up with better solutions. So the client's implementation team almost never has interacted. I mean, I don't recall a single situation in my 30 years of being in this business where I went into a client situation and their implementation team was already collaborating effectively. So the tax expert, the tax accountant's talking to the money manager, the money manager's talking with the insurance people, agents, the insurance agents are picking up the phone and talking to the estate planning lawyer. I've just never seen that happen. So collaboration is the third responsibility. So I'm putting something subliminal up on the screen. Let me do it again. It's very important that you understand the role of your subject matter experts. So write this down. These are the three things that your subject matter experts are tasked with doing. The exception report is nothing more than a discipline that you have your administrative manager insist upon, that if ever there's a situation where one of your subject matter experts is going to miss a deadline, that they submit an exception report in advance, giving us a heads up that there might be a deadline missed, so that there's plenty of time to make other arrangements if it's really important. So exception report is a discipline, and it's a courtesy. It's a courtesy between team members to give each other ample notice if they're not going to be able to meet a deadline. Step 8, administrative manager is responsible for orienting and supporting subject matter experts, and it's the job of the administrative manager to make sure that every subject matter expert understands what's expected of them. So we have a process on the toolkit, but nevertheless, it's your administrative manager's job to explain the expectations to each and every subject matter expert. And if your administrative manager has questions about how to do that, then you can certainly submit a question to us, and we can deal with that in some future monthly session. We have dealt with that quite a bit in these monthly sessions. And we have subject matter experts sign something that we have on the toolkit called a subject matter expert agreement form. So we actually get the subject matter experts to sign off that they are in agreement to all the expectations that our system has upon them. And if you want to see that form, I'm happy to share it. Just ask in one of these future monthly sessions. We'll pull it up on the screen and walk through it. But we want those forms not only signed by every subject matter expert, but we want the administrative manager to submit those to us at the toolkit. So it's so important. We ask for verification so that we can help make sure that that form has been signed by every subject matter expert. And finally, in step 8, we just make sure that the administrative manager is blocking 2 hours of preparation time prior to every dry run prep meeting for the advisor. Okay? Step 9 of 11, we call this the functional team stage, where now that you've got a team and they are beginning to function effectively, there are three things that we're looking for. We want to make sure that each subject matter expert has a process more robust than our deliverables checkpoints. So we've got deliverables checkpoints just for consistency to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks for the client. And this is a checklist of items for each subject matter expert. But we view that as a safety net. We know we've got the right subject matter expert if their process is more robust than our checklist of things for them to do. And number 2, as we've said, we verify that each subject matter expert is collaborating with the other subject matter experts. And this is evidenced by something called the interaction log. And it's simply a format to submit a form to submit to the administrative manager, which is in essence meeting notes between two subject matter experts about a upcoming client meeting. So we want the others on the team to be able to see these interaction logs. So if you have a question about the interaction log, what it is, and why it's important to be in a format like this, then you can ask that in future months and we'll deal with it. And we want to verify at this stage 9 that all the subject matter experts are indeed reviewing the work of the others prior to every dry run prep meeting. So this right here are the primary responsibilities of your team as it relates to your clients. This is what you're looking for from your subject matter expert as it relates to your clients. And at this stage, we have the administrative manager implement something called the solution log. This is nothing more than a communication tool to convey to the subject matter experts in the event that there's a problem with a client that we're right in the middle of, like maybe a client requested a distribution and has not received it and they're upset or there's some problem. This is just a method so that everybody on the team knows that this is happening, so that if the client happens to interact with others on the team, everybody's on the same page and everybody's sensitive to the idea that there is a problem that's being worked on for that client. And then finally, step 10, the trusted advisor is having these expectations meetings. We could call them performance reviews or whatever. But the trusted advisor is, just like they're sitting down with the administrative manager every 4 months, at this stage, they're sitting down with the subject matter experts every 4 months for the purpose of continually increasing client value. That's the conversation. What do we need to do to increase client value until our referrals are increased? So we know that the client feels that our team is indispensable and effective for them when they begin introducing us to other people spontaneously. And so we have the advisor sitting down every 4 months and having this conversation with every subject matter expert to keep pressing the team to continually increase client value until we start seeing referrals increase. So it's up to the administrative manager to make sure that these meetings are on the advisor's calendar, these one-on-one meetings with subject matter experts every 4 months, as well as with the administrative manager. And there should be periodic what we call team strategy meetings or deliverables team summit, something like that. It's important that the team get together as a team to create strategies to create increased client value from time to time. And in advance of each of these expectations meetings, it's up to the administrative manager to schedule preparation time for the trusted advisor to prepare mentally and for these meetings to determine, you know, what the best outcome should be with each of these one-on-one expectations meetings. And it's up to at this stage 10, we encourage the administrative manager to maintain records on each individual subject matter expert. What are they doing really well? You know, what do we want to praise them for? And if there are any areas of improvement or if there's something that is an issue in their office, it's at these expectations meetings that the advisor will address any of those issues. So the administrative manager helps by maintaining a file for each subject matter expert. And those are the 11 steps. And the one thing that I wanted to point out is once these first 10 are implemented, the 11th step is the outcome. At this point, the expected results are that you're having at least 5 initial client interviews per week with potential ideal clients. And if you noticed when we went through there, just to kind of sum this whole thing up, there are 3 stages to these 11 steps. The first stage focuses on your administrative manager. So steps 1 through 5, nearly half of these 11 steps really focus on whether or not your administrative manager's up to this job. They need to be strong. They need to be effective. And it's a very objective measurement, these first 5 steps. And we invest quite a bit of time on the front end just making sure that you've got the right administrative manager. And if they're not up to this task, you need to keep hiring until you find somebody that can do this well. So that's stage 1. Stage 2 of 3 is just filling your team, making sure that you've got every subject matter expert position filled with somebody who is up to the task. And stage 3 is once you have your team built, making sure that the team operates as a team player, that they are effective, that they have a great process, each and every one of them, and that they're collaborating with each other, and that they're reviewing each other's work prior to every dry run prep meeting. So that's stage 3. So those are your 11 steps, and you can implement those immediately, just conceptually, even though you're not using the Trusted Advisor Toolkit at this point. So let me cover the next 2 questions quickly. How important is it for me to have an ideal client profile, and how do I create one? Well, we have an entire module on this, but let me just fly through and say that there are 5 criteria or essential elements in creating an effective ideal client profile. So there, you need to have psychographic criteria, behavioral criteria. You need to have demographics in your ideal client profile, and the profile needs to be strict. And we feel an essential element is to share with your clients and potential clients your goal, so that they know if there's going to be a point when you close your doors to new clients, you know, give them a heads up as to when that might be and how close you are to that point. So let me go through them one by one. We'll just fly through this. So when I say psychographic criteria, This means personality type. So what you're looking at on the right is a sample ideal client profile. Now, for those of you live on this session, I've put this document in the webinar panel. You can click and open. It's a Word document that you can have. And if you're listening to this as a replay, in the episode page for this episode, the same document, you're able to download the Word document. So this is the format of a well-designed ideal client profile. Why do I say that? Well, because more or less, this is the one that I used to build my community of ideal clients. So with a few variations, but let me just go through this. So what are the psychographic elements here? You'll notice that there are seven elements to this particular ideal client profile. You don't have to have seven. You could have three. You could have, I think the smallest one I've seen is three. I've seen some that have 15 or 20 elements, so or bullet points. So on this particular one, the one that I used, the psychographic elements, the personality things, I didn't want to work with somebody that wasn't passionate about their goals. So I made that as a psychographic criteria. Also, I like clients that enjoy simplicity. So if a client's got accounts all over the place and we look at this and we don't see any real reason for that, that there's not just some arbitrary desire on the client's part to have a complex situation, if we start folding accounts together for simplicity, we like clients that enjoy that, you know, that their life's getting simpler because we're working together. And then one thing that I put on mine is that, you know, it's I don't know if you've seen that old Tom Cruise movie about Guantanamo Bay, but he was a lawyer in the Navy, and there was a real heated scene where he's cross-examining Jack Nicholson in this movie, and it gets all heated, and at one point, he said, you know, tell me the truth, and the Jack Nicholson looks at him and says, you can't handle the truth. Well, that really resonated with me. I want clients that can handle the truth. So on mine, I have as a psychographic kind of a personality type, clients appreciate the candid truth. So if there's a bad situation or if we are envisioning some scenario that's very uncomfortable to discuss, I want clients that appreciate candor and that I can feel free to discuss issues no matter how tough they are, and that the client, even if it's an uncomfortable conversation, would rather have the conversation than not have the conversation, as long as it's relevant. So those are psychographic. Now, behavioral, I have two behavioral aspects. This is how they normally behave. You could call this way of being, but you know, this is just the way the client behaves. And I feel like every financial advisor, this is the one thing, in my opinion, that should be on every financial advisor's ideal client profile. And that is, what we're looking for is financial delegators. Somebody who appreciates advice, and they will follow the advice of a team of experts. And so that we're not setting up a situation where we're working with like do-it-yourselfers who don't want to pay the fee and don't want to take the advice. So I feel like all of us are seeking financial delegators. So that should be on every one of your ideal client profiles, in my opinion. And on mine, I also have a behavioral requirement. You know, it's the type of person, their normal behavior is they prefer to focus on things that are the most important. So including, let's focus on things we can control, not on things that we can't control. So these are behavioral things that I'm looking for, but this is an example of behavioral requirements. Demographics could be several things. Well, it could be, for example, the geography. My friend Bill Backrack, and he's a client of ours, he feels very strongly that you should consider putting demographics as one of your ideal client profile criteria. And that, and in our case, that would be something like, you know, a client that is seeking convenience as an important criteria in a relationship with an advisor. And I just listed here, therefore, every ideal client lives within 5 miles of our office, which is at the corner of, and I list two streets here, and, you know, in my little village where I live. So, you know, that's really a strong, including demographics like that and making convenience a criteria that you're only going to work with ideal clients that, you know, meet this demographic, or else you're not going to consider them an ideal client. You know, that's very crystal clear. The thing that has to be, that's your choice, but the thing that has to be on here without fail, and you have to do this, and many advisors make the mistake of missing this piece or disagree that this should be in there. And I'm just telling you, from my decades of experience, don't make this mistake. Always include your minimum income or asset requirement. So it's so critical. And the fear of advisors is that if they put this on their website, or if they put this on your LinkedIn profile, or if you hand this out, as I do, to potential clients, that when they see that, it's going to scare them off. That's the fear. But the reality is, if a potential client meets your profile, they're going to look at that, and it's going to be the opposite reaction. They're going to say, yeah, that's me. And they'll just say, fine, this is yet another bullet point that describes me. And it'll be that warm, fuzzy feeling that as they go through this with you, more and more, it looks like it's beginning to be a good fit. So I'm going to read this one to you the way I've got it on mine, just to say, don't, in the words of Bill Bachrach, don't wuss out. Don't fail to do this. So I have on mine that a quality of a client that we serve best is that they value our work together. Our clients appreciate advice and guidance. Due to the high level of client interaction and attention, our services only make sense for families who have accumulated more than $5 million, not including the value of their home. Now, you could have an income requirement. You could have, rather than talking about their assets, you could say what your minimum fee is, your minimum compensation. But you've got to have this demographic, something about your minimum, so that clients who don't meet your minimum aren't embarrassed. And clients who do meet your minimum realize they're in the right place. Number four is this whole notion of this is not a wish list. Now, this is another huge mistake that advisors make. When I say create an ideal client profile, advisors mistakenly think, oh yeah, well, let me just make a list of things, let me focus on clients that I've had in the past that the relationship has been great, and let me profile them, and that's what this will be, and we'll call that kind of our wish list, and I'll convey to my clients and my staff, you know, this is the kind of clients that we're kind of sort of looking for. I'm saying no, that is not effective. That is actually dysfunctional. What I'm describing here is, and what you're building here, is a profile that is the line that you draw in the proverbially draw in the sand, so that on one side of the line are non-ideal clients, and you are building a profile to help your team identify who your client ideal clients are, so they know who to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to. So truly comprehensive financial services are a huge internal investment of both time and resources, time being a resource, but also human resources, financial resources, to deliver at this high level. You only want to deliver to clients who meet your ideal client profile. So every ideal client meets every aspect of your ideal client profile. So you have to be very careful when you build your profile. And you are trying to be exclusive. So a mistake that advisors often make when they think about this and they accept this idea that, okay, I will strictly adhere to an ideal client profile, but then they make the mistake of making it inclusive rather than exclusive, so that you're kind of describing an ideal client in such broad terms that it's really worthless. It doesn't hone in on anything. So you are trying to be exclusive. you're trying to, and you are creating a profile that to be an ideal client, they have to meet every one of these. Okay. And any client, even if they're paying you more than your minimum, if they don't meet these profile, if they don't meet this profile, you're not going to accept them as a client. So when you say our ideal client, and I like this terminology, and we played around with this for a couple of years and tested it with clients and prospective clients, the wording that resonated most and was most accurate from our perspective is what we're really describing here is the client that we serve best. So the client we serve best has the following qualities, and you bullet point them off, and they need to meet all of them. Okay. And the way I did this was I talked about the best three clients that I'd ever had in my whole, at that time, 12-year career. This was back in 1999. And I said, okay, here are my top three clients. I'm going to just profile them. And they were financial delegators. They were passionate about their goals. They liked simplicity. They valued our work. They lived close to the office and they focused on things that mattered most. And they appreciated me telling them the truth, even when the conversation was tough. And it was very easy. I just described our best clients. And then finally, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I think it's important for you to give your potential clients and your clients a heads up. So I recommend that you make it very public what your goal is. So down at the bottom, you see here, once we have a community of 100 clients who meet this profile, we will not be accepting any new clients. Now, if you want to get into this further, ask a question. We'll deal with it in future months because there is quite a bit of controversy over this. Not the fact that you should share the goal, but whether the goal is 100. I would say I know 100 is possible because that's what I did. I did it myself and I built a team. I built a team that actually managed 100 ideal clients through our three meeting process. But Bill Bachrach feels very strongly that the more you charge, the more attention you need to pay to an ideal client. So he has established that if you're going to be charging, let's say $50,000 per year per client, Bill has evidence that at that high annual fee rate, that and my fees were never that high. My minimum is $35,000. I'm not accepting clients right now, but our minimum is $35,000 per year flat fee to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. We know that these services, the way we're teaching you, are worth $50,000 because we have advisors that are charging that for the exact same process that you're implementing through this program. So to a great extent, it's a matter of confidence. But the only point here to be made is Bill Bachrach, who is quite an authority, he feels that if you're going to charge $50,000, you cannot have over 50 ideal clients. So he calls it 50 at 50. So the concept here is that the higher you compensation you charge, so let's say $50,000 per year, Bill's proposing that you should have less clients in order to invest more time with them. With a lesser fee, I've proven that you can give adequate attention. When I say adequate, it's beyond their expectations of attention to your ideal clients. And so it's somewhere between, let's say, 35 and 100 ideal clients. But the point of this whole thing is, once I shared that goal with clients and potential clients, I sent out a notification periodically to my clients and potential clients saying where I'm at. So when I was at 12, well, I started out at 17. I said I'm 17 of 100. Then, I sent out a notification later. I'm now we're at 25 of 100. And then I sent one out later that said we're now 60 of 100. And it's like a countdown so that if you have an interaction with a potential client and they're quote-unquote thinking about it, they meet the ideal client profile, you've invited them into the ideal client community, but they just have not made the decision yet, I felt an obligation to let those people know where we're at, because once we hit 100 clients, we did in fact close our firm to new clients. And so I didn't want to be accused of not keeping these people who, quote unquote, are thinking about it, not updated. So same goes for the clients. We have clients that were introducing us like crazy to everyone they know because their experience was so great with us. And by the same token, I wanted them to know where we were at with our goal because it was important that they know when our firm would close to new clients. So those are the five aspects of an ideal client profile. And then we encourage you to make this a strict criteria, the actual definition of an ideal client. Finally, what's the process for subject matter experts to get to know a client? Should I allow my subject matter experts to approve new ideal clients before we begin working with them? Interesting question. I'm going to call, there are really two issues that we're dealing with here, and I want you to think about this. The first is introducing new deliverables team members to your clients, and the second is there needs to be a process to introduce and integrate new subject matter experts onto your team. Okay, so it begs the question, what's the difference between a deliverables team member and a subject matter expert? So let's deal with that. But let's just call this whole conversation introducing new deliverables team members. Okay, so let's start with a couple definitions. What's the difference between a deliverables team member, which that definition is everyone on your team who's supporting the ideal client experience. So anyone on your team is considered a deliverables team member. That would be you as a trusted advisor. If you have a director of client services who your administrative manager reports to, that would be a deliverables team member. Your administrative manager, your client service assistants, certainly your subject matter experts, and the support people to your subject matter experts. So these are all deliverables team members. So then if that's a deliverables team member, what's a subject matter expert? Well, a subject matter expert is just a type of deliverables team member. It's one of the deliverables team members. And it's these, you know, individuals who are experts in narrow fields of finance, tax, financial planning, and so forth. So that those, let's starting with those definitions, let me just fly through the three stages or the three elements of introducing new deliverables team members. Okay, first, there should be a process where the trusted advisor introduces the new team member. Okay, secondly, there needs to be a process where the deliverables team member is proactive and introduces themselves to the clients individually so that the clients get to know this new team member. And then third, there needs to be an effort on the part of the deliverables team member, the new deliverables team member, to proactively reach out and meet with everybody who's already on the team. Okay? Now, what we focus on in this and what you need to remain focused on is creating an extraordinary client experience. So we focus on how the ideal client's experience can be enhanced by this idea of introducing new team members. And if we go through each of these three steps and we think about what are we trying to accomplish here, when the trusted advisor starts the process by making an introduction to a new deliverables team member, that places a stamp of approval on that new team member. And then step number two, when the new deliverables team member then proactively reaches out and introduces themselves directly to each ideal client, well, that conveys authority and cordiality. And it just says this is a true pro. This is a class act, someone who, you know, is cares about me and knows their stuff. I mean, it looks great. And then third, the fact that a new deliverables team member reaches out proactively then and meets with each and every member of the existing team, that conveys that this is a good team player. So focusing on each step, this first step where the trusted advisor introduces the new deliverables team member, there should be an outbound notification. Should be coordinated by the administrative manager, but really it should be the advisor who writes some kind of an introduction, email or letter or notification to the clients and to the team. And then there are places where you list your team. So could be on your LinkedIn profile, could be on your website. We recommend a new client welcome kit so that whenever there's a new client, there is a welcome kit that goes out. If you have questions on that, you can submit that question in future months and we can cover what that looks like, the new client welcome kit. But all these things need to be updated whenever there's a new team member. So the advisor introduces the new deliverables team member with an outbound notification. The administrative manager then updates the website and the every place where the team is mentioned, the new team member needs to be added. And then our recommendation is that the new deliverables team member, quote unquote, sit in on every client progress meeting for the first meeting cycle. So we meet with clients 3 times a year. That means over the next 4 months, at any point, we're meeting with every ideal client. So once a new deliverables team member comes on board, we recommend that they sit in on every client progress meeting for the next 4 months so that they meet in a client meeting setting every client. Now, when I say sit in, I've done this several ways. So if it's somebody who's virtual, who's in another, not even in your city, then I have them, involved in the client progress meeting through Skype or conference call, just sitting on a speakerphone. So when I say sitting in on the meeting, it could be a virtual meeting. So you're meeting with the client as the advisor, but the new deliverables team member is, involved not physically in the meeting, although you could have them physically in the meeting. Step two is now it's the ball's in the new deliverables team member's court to introduce themselves to the client. This is a step that's often missed, and over the years we found this to be really important to the process. It creates the intimate relationship between the subject matter expert and the client that helps the client get that overwhelming sense of confidence that there's this, the bench is deep. We've got a team that is really effective, and they begin to recognize the skill and the experience of each individual team member because they've begun to meet them. And so the deliverables team member, and these should all be approved and actually go through your office. I believe that it should be coming out from your office. So on your letterhead, if it's a physical letter, or coming out of your email server, just maybe from the advisor saying, here's an email to you from our new tax subject matter expert. And then there's kind of a cut and paste of an email from the subject matter expert directly to that client. So it needs to be orchestrated through the administrative manager, but an outbound notification right when they join the team saying, hey, I'm excited to meet you and your outcome, in other words, your outcomes with me, here's what you can expect from our relationship. So let's say it's a tax subject matter expert, just to pick one, just say, my job is to make sure that there are no opportunities to reduce taxes that are overlooked, and we will make sure to find every tax deduction possible, whatever. So, and you'll interact with me with any question regarding your taxes. So they need to talk about what the outcomes will be for them being on the team. And after the deliverables team member has sat in on that first client meeting, we feel that it's really important that the new deliverables team member then interact again through the administrative manager as a follow-up to that meeting, saying, here were some action items I think came out of that meeting, or here's what I think the next step is in their narrow field of finance regarding anything that came out of that meeting. I just think any kind of a follow-up after the meeting that they sat in on just signifies this is a class act, very professional operator here, somebody who, operates at a higher level than the average. And then the third step is the internal. So it's your new deliverables team member proactively reaching out to the existing members of your team. We always ask our new deliverables team members to schedule meetings directly with each and every subject matter expert and just to introduce themselves and go through meetings, at least the client meetings scheduled for the next 60 days. So they'll be sitting in on dry run prep meetings as we hold them a week to 10 days before every meeting. But we found at the beginning of the relationship, when a new subject matter expert or deliverables team member joins the team, if they pick up the phone and contact each existing subject matter expert and just focus on the meetings coming up for the next 60 days, that breaks the ice and gets the whole relationship moving in a forward direction in a very positive way. And it's important that they just pick up the phone right when they join the team and just introduce themselves and say, hey, I'm looking forward to working with you on the team. So just to finish this out, here are the outcomes that need to happen when you have a new deliverables team member on the team. And it starts with the trusted advisor. So here are the messages that have to be loud and clear from this process. What the trusted advisor is saying, and this has to come across loud and clear to the team and to the clients, is I've just acquired a new superstar onto our team, and I'm sending this superstar into the game. And that this superstar is extraordinary, and we can count on them to score a lot. And when it comes to the deliverables team member connecting directly with ideal clients through the administrative manager, the message that needs to come across loud and clear there is that, you know, I'm good at what I do. I'm best in class. I'm going to give it 110%, and I've got your back. You can count on me to provide every little bit of discretionary effort that you've never had from a subject matter expert with this expertise before. So I'm paying attention. I'm going to give it all I've got, and I'm excited to be on the team, and I'm excited to be working with you as a client. So that's the message that needs to come through loud and clear. And then finally, the message that needs to come through loud and clear to the others on the team is that, you know, again, I'm excited to be on the team. This is the new deliverables team member proactively reaching out to existing team members. I'm excited to work with you. So, you know, they learn a little bit and do research. They get a little background on each other deliverables team member before they connect with them, and they convey that they're excited to work with them. They make sure that the message is loud and clear. I am collegial, but I'm not going to roll over. I'm a good team player, but I'm going to have questions about each and every one of your recommendations. So I hope you're, you know, open for the, you know, the idea that if I've got questions about anything you're going to be recommending, I'm not going to be shy. I'm gonna ask my question, but I am a great team player. And here's the key: how many of you have ever served on a team where somebody on the team didn't pull their weight? Your new deliverables team member needs to convey to everybody else on the team that they are going to more than pull their weight. And that's it. That is the process of introducing a new deliverables team member to your clients and to the others on your team, and to celebrate the arrival of a new team member, which is always an exciting and important occasion. That's it for the monthly session for this month. Until next month, we wish you all the best in implementing. I'm Mark Little.